It is so good to be with you guys. My name is Kevin, like he said. I am glad to be here. I wish that I was able to be here more. I love Bert and Sherry very much and love what God's been doing in Anthem Ventura. And it has been a joy. I've been a part of Anthem since the beginning. 2009. 12 years now? Is that what that is? 13? Thanks. Math's not my strong suit, just like my daughter. Anyway, we've been doing this for 13 years now, and it has been such a joy. I never thought I would be a lead pastor, never wanted to be a lead pastor, didn't think I look like one, talk like one. And also, I love my uncles very much. I had a couple uncles who were lead pastors, and one of the things that was terrifying to me is I didn't know who their best friend was. And I know, me growing up, on my own, I was just a mess. Not like externally, but internally. I was a hot mess. I did all the right things externally. I did Awanas and was very good. I memorized and recited an entire Awana booklet in one night. If you know Awana, you should be impressed by me. I want those accolades. It was, which book color? I was a pioneer at the time, so I don't know if I was still a Sparky, but I could sing the song if you want me to. Okay. Yeah. But there was something that God did in me early that I just knew. I had this deep belief that if anybody actually knew me, nobody would love me. If anybody actually knew me and my good and my bad, nobody would love me because I spent, even from a very early age, at like the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, I was trying to perform for people. I was trying to paint a picture for people. I was a kid at 7 who parents were telling their kids, be like Kevin. And then I should be careful here. I'd find myself in my room playing Street Fighter and doing obscene gestures when Saget would beat me. I was doing things that would make me so mad. I didn't understand all that was going on in me. There was brokenness. I didn't know that it was okay to be broken. I didn't know that it was okay that I could come to God in my weakness. I didn't know that it was okay to not be okay. And for me, lots was good. There wasn't, like, I had great parents. I did school. Everything was sort of fine, but still inside, even in, like, quote unquote, like, the best situations, I was a mess. So anyway, I don't know exactly where I'm going here with this. This is all in just a get to know me side of things. But I never felt like I belonged. I didn't know that I could belong. I didn't know that I could be open, I could be honest, and I for sure did not think that being a pastor was a place where you could be open and honest. So this morning, I'm going to try and be open and honest with you. It's still a work in progress. By God's grace, He has shown me time and time again that an open, honest engagement with Him is the place where we find healing and rest. It's the place where we find restoration. One of my professors, one of these guys, professors, John Coe, said, if you want to have a bad prayer life, lie to God. If you want to have one that's rich and vibrant and where you see the living God move, be honest, brutally honest, whether in disappointment, frustration, hurt, excitement, whatever it is. And this, none of this is in the message. This is just, there you go. I'm very excited to be with you guys. I get to talk. Of course, while I'm here, Bert has asked me to teach on generosity. I was like, okay, great. Here, bring somebody else in to talk about money for me. It's cool. But I don't wear watches and I don't wear cool sneakers, so I think you guys are okay. It's not for me. But we are going to talk about generosity. And one of the things I loved about being able to talk about generosity is I'm not coming into a church that isn't generous. This is like Paul, when Paul writes to the Philippian church, his encouragement to them, it's nothing's brand new. It's like I'm so delighted for the generosity that you have now. Keep being generous. Keep going. It's another thing if we're riding in or coming into a scene where it's like, you guys have never done this before. This is what we need to do. That's not what we're doing. You guys recite a generosity pledge every single Sunday. Like, that's basically our message for this morning. But I do want to talk about it. And I also want to invite you guys into the story that you are a part of. By God's grace, and I can talk about it in a semi-boastful way because it wasn't my creation. When Anthem turned 1 year old back in October of 2009 or 2010, again, pardon my math, Matt Larson, who's the lead pastor at Anthem Thousand Oaks, had the crazy idea. He didn't develop this idea either. He got it from Dave and John Ferguson out in Chicago, to do this thing called Celebrate Generosity. And at that time, Matt and I were full-time at Anthem. I think I was making $49,000 a year. We didn't have more than 15 days ahead in the bank account for the church. And Matt said, what I want us to do is I think we need to have on our birthday, we need to invite our people to be crazy generous, and every dollar that comes in is going to be sent out. And I thought, that is awesome. That's a really neat idea. I do have a family, a mortgage, and we are dependent on those same people continuing to give so that we can survive. But I said, you know what? Like, we cannot outgive God, and we would love that on our birthday, part of what we became known for was giving away large sums of money without any strings attached. And so that first year, we mustered up the courage and we invited people to give towards global, local, and the reproducing churches. Those are three main categories, which you guys will probably hear about more later. And I didn't know what to expect. We weren't a large church. We were, I don't know, right, or maybe 200-ish people. But all of us were young and broke. We didn't know what would happen. And somehow, by God's grace, we raised $46,000 that one Sunday and gave all of it away, which is amazing. However, that was more than like three or four months' salary, like for our church, like income for our church. And we're like, God, what's going to happen now? Like, are we going to fail? Are we going to have to be, like, get new jobs? Are we going to have to do X, Y, and Z? And I wish I could say that instantly all that money was picked back up. I don't, that would be more of like a prosperity gospel message. We gave all of this, and then God gave us tons more in response. No, like, the next month, I think we probably missed budget by, like, $10,000 or something. But guess what? The month after that, it kicked up. And the month after that, it kicked up. And the month after that, it kicked up. I didn't get a raise for a really long time. But what I'm telling you guys are coming into a story. We have done Celebrate Generosity every single year after that. And 2 years later, Anthem Camarillo was born, and we joined the story. And I re-went through that anxious moment, but we stepped forward. And now, I think 2 years ago was the year that we crossed giving away more than $1 million to Celebrate Generosity, which you guys are a part of. And through that, we've seen thousands of children rescued out of sex trafficking. We've seen over 12 churches planted. We have supported and seen missionaries go out like our friends Scott and Alexis. And we have seen God do incredible things as he's continued to provide more and more for his church. And it has been beautiful to see what God has done through a bunch of ragtag people. We don't have a large church. Anthem Thousand Oaks for sure is bigger. But it's not about the numbers. It's about the heart. It's about the posture. And I'm just so grateful. I just want you guys to know you are a part of a story. There is a legacy that has been written into Anthem Ventura, that you are a generous people. And there are stories coming out from you of your generosity, like with your missional allowances and seeing how God is continuing to breed this generosity and it's impacting other people's lives. And I just, before we get to any of the message, I just want to say well done and keep going. I do like to talk about generosity because I think we have a misconception of what we generally are talking about when we're talking about generosity. And oftentimes we think it's primarily about money. And I just want us to know from the start, and I know you guys know this, generosity is not just about money. And we know that because generosity, the archetype of generosity, is Jesus. And Jesus never had a lot of money. But he is our greatest example of what a generous God looks like. And so I love to talk about generosity because we start with who God is and how God is eternally generous to us. He was generous chiefly in two areas. First is creation. God was overly generous in how he created the world and all that was within. And he created us in his image, and as image bearers, we are called to be generous as well. But his pinnacle of generosity is the person of Jesus. And this is where I want us to start, and this is where I want your guys' help, and we're going to do this quite a bit this morning, is you guys are going to help teach this morning, because I want to hear from you guys, how did you see Jesus in the life that we have given to us in Scripture? How has Jesus been generous? I'd love to hear us talk about that for a minute. How have you seen Jesus be generous? From what we know in Scripture, how is he generous? He is generous with his time. Great. Yeah. Awesome. Anybody in particular come to mind for you with that? Yeah. Yeah. Children. Yeah, he didn't limit himself to just the elite, right? That's good. Anything else stick out to you about Jesus and his generosity? It's okay if it doesn't. His jealousy over his children. Yeah, there's this generous protection, this generous, these are part of my flock. These are mine. Yeah, it's good. Right? That's huge, Ryan. That absolutely, absolutely changing. He didn't have to do that. That was above and beyond. And it was radical. It was huge, but it was a huge blessing. And it's funny because did those people actually need it? Probably not. What made it so surprising is that they had already probably had enough. That's right. That's right. Yeah, right. I want us to see, because when it comes to generosity, our minds are wired to think that this is primarily about money. And it's just not. Every human being on the face of the planet is born with the most valuable commodity, and that's that you are made in the Imago Dei. And you have the presence of God to share with others. And Jesus, who is God, emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, took on flesh, and he gave his presence. We think, sometimes we want to say he gave his presence to everyone, but I like what Marilyn said. He actually gave his presence to specific people. Which is another problem with generosity. Sometimes we like to use big, encompassing words. Like, I want to be generous with everyone. Okay, that's awesome. But when we say really large things like, I want to do this all the time or with everyone, generally you just don't do it with anybody. Jesus, who is God, took the time to specifically be generous with the woman at the well who was hiding from the rest of humanity because she didn't want anybody to know she was like me. If anybody actually knew me, nobody could love me. And Jesus says, sweetheart, I know you. He probably didn't call her sweetheart. I don't like it. When servers do that to me, I'm sorry that I just did that. But Jesus took the opportunity to go out to somebody. And when the woman who was bleeding touched him, he could have just walked away and like, yeah, I know, she had an issue. But he turned around and he met this woman's face and he recognized that she had touched him and he let her know that he saw her. We Or the Roman centurion who came and visited him. And I don't know if I know a whole lot about you, Jesus, yet, but I believe that maybe you have the power to do this. And Jesus said, man, you have more faith than most of Israel. This healing will be done. His presence with his disciples. Even how he was generous with the religious leaders. I love it. We have a scene where Jesus is looking out on them and he's weeping. And he has compassion for them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. He's generous with his enemies. And he has also been generous with the world as he went to the cross and bore our sin, our shame. And as his side was pierced, his blood poured out and generously covers the sins of the world. And Jesus is our archetype for generosity. And it didn't necessarily include much money, but I will say it did obviously include some money. Judas, who carried around the money purse, they needed money to do things. It's not like money wasn't important. It's just that money wasn't the driving force. They used their money. It's one of the reasons Judas was so angry at when Mary pours out the perfume, when she pours out the nard, one of my favorite words in Scripture. He's so upset because couldn't this have been used to do X, Y, and Z? And there Jesus reminds all of us that the most important thing that he desires for us is to be generous with our presence with him and to know where we're at in that space. He's our archetype for generosity. Doesn't include money only. Primarily includes a posture of humility, obedience, and dependence on the Spirit. We're going to look at Matthew 6 this morning. That timer didn't start, so I just feel like that means I can go for whenever I want. No, I'm not going to do that. But we're going to look at Matthew 6, 19 through 24, and I'm going to ask you guys to help me as we kind of work through this together. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is an interesting passage. I'm sure many of you have heard this or seen this before. You've gone through it. And I love this. And the Sermon on the Mount is like this. There's something that's like so beautifully poetic and flowy about it. And maybe it's because I also learned some of this in song. But there is this poetic nature, and it's important for us. I know you guys know this. I'm sure Bert has taught to you guys about this, how Jesus speaks. You guys know that he speaks in word pictures. Sometimes we get way too literal. This is a good one to be reminded. Like, we can't actually take this 100% literal, even though there's literal pictures that are going on here. But, like, I can't physically store up a treasure in heaven. I can't do that. Like, in anything that Jesus calls us to do, He's not calling us to do something that's not possible. And so we've got to press into this and see what does this look like? He's speaking in these pictures. And it's helpful often when reading things like this from Jesus to go to the end, verse 24, and it helps give us the kind of the big picture overview. Will one of you read verse 24 for me? It's good. So is money evil? Is money evil? Why? Why is it not evil? Okay. Yeah. Sure. It's fascinating because money can, we can sometimes think, oh, all money is evil, or we can also think all money is good. The reality is that it's neutral, right? And it's the pursuit or the love of money, which is the root of all evil, not necessarily money itself. But how have you guys seen this work out? Have you guys seen people striving for the dollar and also striving for Jesus? You haven't really seen it? I'm going to say, if we're to be honest, we try to be the exception to this verse, especially in Southern California. I'm just saying, if we're honest, I think we try to be the exception. Yeah, I get it. Most people, they can't love money and love Jesus. But me, I've got a pretty good heart. I've got a pretty good head on my shoulders. That's just like general rules for the rest of everybody else. I hope this breeds some sort of tension in you and I, and I'm not going to relieve it just in case you were wondering. Jesus says you cannot love God and money. You cannot serve two masters. Friends, I think it's incredibly important for us. Colossians 3 reminds us not to lie to one another. That's not lying about my grade. That's lying about me. That there will be moments in your life, if they are not current and present, where this will become an issue. Am I serving money or am I serving Jesus? And how do you know the difference? And this is discussion point. How do you know? How do you know whether or not you're serving money or you're serving Jesus? What do you think? Okay. Expand a little bit for me. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. 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 Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's good. Yeah. Yeah, because we live in a world that will spend every dollar you don't have before you have it. That says, hey, if you just got this thing, if you got that pay raise, if you received this house, then you will be this type of a person. Then you will have this happiness. Then you will be this person or that person. All that I'm wanting to do, friends, is I want it to challenge us. And I'm in the middle of it, just so you know. We have a family of six. I've got four kids, and starting from 14 down to 9. We have two dogs, four or five bunnies, not sure. And we just got notice that we have to move out by November 1. We sold our house 2 years ago, thinking that, okay, the market's crazy. We want to get ready to buy and perhaps be ready. And then obviously you guys know the things that have gone on with the market and around lately. And it's like everything's just gone up. We're not even sure we could afford the house that we sold 2 years ago. We don't know what we're going to do. It's a good chance that I'm going to have to move back in with my in-laws. And that sounds really exciting as somebody who's about to turn 40. Just really cool. Makes me feel great. Really feel accomplished. And yet it's funny because right now here we are talking about generosity. And like you said, Alyssa, right now we're wanting to do this. We're wanting to curl up and we're wanting to potentially hold and protect and say, hey, well, we've got to keep ourselves together. And look, there's wisdom. There is wisdom. There's scriptures filled with wisdom about being wise with your finances, and we ought to be. I do not want to get away from that. But there is never a moment in time as followers of Jesus where we are ever called to close our fists. There is never a time in Scripture where we are called to not be generous. Again, if we think generosity is only money, we will be amiss. That's why it's important. We must understand generosity is not just our money, but it doesn't exclude our money either. But we personally are right now in a spot where the idea of Celebrate Generosity coming up, and we try and give away a bigger sum of money every year, and it is hard. It's so hard to do. We're trying to figure out how to have a down payment. And guys, you know what it costs out here. It is just bat nuts crazy. And so it can get confusing sometimes. Am I serving money or am I serving Jesus? Because I'm like, well, I need this amount of money in order to live here. And it's like, which one is, And so like I said, what I want to do, I don't want to alleviate the tension. I want to bring us into it. I want us to know that we will live in this tension. And that we are called to check our hearts regularly. I don't make a decision 17 years ago to be a generous person and never have to decide about whether or not I will be generous again. It is a daily choice to be generous. So they give us, in Matthew, he gives us some things. He says, okay, you want to be generous, so don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So what would be some examples of laying up treasures on earth? What do you think would be an example or two? Bitcoin. Possibly. That's why, I don't even know if it's real anyway. Like, is it even storing up treasures on earth, or is it in the cloud, or where is it? I don't know. I'm terrible at it, though. I put in $800, and it's $200 somewhere. I don't even know how I'd get it out if I got anything. Go ahead. Sure. Yeah, it's good. Okay. Yep. Right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right? Sometimes excess. Sure. We can find ourselves in that space. And most of the reasons why we get to these places, there's something in us that has been trained for that, that has said, hey, there's worth here. There's value here. There's longevity here. And again, I don't believe Scripture doesn't teach that it's bad to be rich or bad to be wealthy. Or even bad to have things. I was talking about this treasure. I try and teach my kids that my wife, that Keely, and you may not like this, but I tell my kids point blank, I love them all. I just love their mom a little bit more. She is our treasure. She's my treasure. She's a gift. She's not dainty. She's strong. If you've met Keely, she's like one of the strongest, most beautiful, powerful, loving people you will ever meet. Treasure doesn't mean dainty. Treasure doesn't mean weak. I don't want them to treat her like a treasure because she's weak. I want them to treat her like a treasure because she's precious, because she's beautiful, because she's unique. as my wife and their mom. But it's a little bit challenging, I think, again, in the pursuit of honesty, to what are the things that we treasure? What do you treasure? What do you treasure? I'm not looking for a Christian answer. I'm just like, what? And I'm also not like, what does your uncle treasure? I want to know what you treasure. What do you treasure? Sports, okay? Adventure, yeah. Yeah, excitement. Pizza. Yeah. Traveling. What was that? Me time. Yeah. My gut. Personal health. Comfort. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I'm sure there's other things, most of what's been shared, there's nothing inherently evil about what anybody has shared. There are probably other things in us that maybe we that perhaps we treasure more than we think we do. Whether it's the security that I can provide because of the bank account that I have. Whether it's my current status as living in Ventura, one of the coolest cities on the planet. Or Camarillo, which is better. Or maybe there's other things that maybe are... I just want to make sure that we don't ask God to search our heart and see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the everlasting way. But perhaps there's other things of like... I actually treasure the fact that I'm better than that person. I treasure the fact that I can talk to people in a certain way and make them feel good. Or I treasure the fact